Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and we had an awesome Sunday. Baby dedications, always so encouraging to see how the Lord is birthing new life, not just new spiritual life, but actual new life, new babies. And it is our responsibility as a church that we are going to raise them together in the Lord. And because we are a spiritual family. And on the lines of spiritual family, we have someone who is a spiritual father in our house, someone who I consider to be one of my spiritual fathers. We have Pastor Wally Wilds. Welcome.
Hey, thanks, Luke. So good to be back here with you, brother. Thanks for asking me to come. And I'm excited to see how the Spirit moves through this fiery time.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, I know you've ministered a lot to me personally, and I've seen even just in my short time here at HPC, how the Lord's even moved and transitioned you, and how we don't stay stagnant. That's a key message that I've taken from watching you and being mentored by you, is the Lord does not call us to stagnancy.
Yeah, it's so good. I think there's a movement of the Holy Spirit that continues to align us to what His kingdom is all about. And I love the fact that in transition, it's always going to be a little bit tricky in some ways, because we're being a little bit in the disorientating, but reorientating. But when the Spirit moves and the Spirit leads, it's really, really good. And so I think that, you know, just even in the transition that the Lord has for me, it's been really great just to know that this is my home, this is my family, and I've just been out and about a little bit more. Taking the message of the gospel and what we're doing here at His Providence out and about with other people that are not always part of this church. So,
amen, amen. That's so cool to see how the body
expands
and grows. Just on that, what are some of the things that you have been up to? What does the Lord have on your assignment plate right now?
Well, we're getting ready to go to Moldova.
Yes, next we are.
Month,
yes, we are.
Right, Luke, it's going to be awesome. We have 26 of us. It's just been really great to see, you know, age 16 to age 70.
It's a really awesome group.
It is. It's really good.
Awesome group.
So that's just a blessing to know that we're not just going to Moldova to be missionaries and bring the gospel to these students and teachers. We're actually practicing here. And so that gets me real excited. We, with Encounter Culture Mission Collaborative, it's been exciting. We just had a workshop with 30 people from Greenhouses.
Yeah, I got some good feedback on that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Just really having a desire to share Christ in a very relational, a very tangible way of just being like Christ and without having to preach to them or even teach them, but really invite them into the spiritual hospitality.
Amen. Amen. So, now, for someone who's never heard of Encounter, how in like one or two sentences, how would you describe Encounter and what it is?
Yeah. So Encounter Culture is beautiful. It is a catalyst for men and women and even some, you know, teenagers to encounter God in a place where they're more aware of who He is, and also the Holy Spirit giving awareness of what hinders or distracts us from being fully encompassed into that encounter with God, because it's about encountering Him.
Yes.
And that was, I think even Zach said that maybe on Sunday, it's not about the encounter itself. It's about God.
Amen.
It's about the Father.
Amen.
And so we've seen a real awareness, awakening, and then an activation to stay in the healed and restored state of being versus just continuing to, you know, come back to those wounds.
Amen. Amen. So, again, there's no stagnation.
No.
And it's in the Holy Spirit. He does a full restorative work in our life. Like, I was just listening to a message today on Psalm 23, and the pastor was saying how, you know, is that line of He restores my soul.
Amen.
The will of God is a full soul restoration.
Yeah.
Now, are there any weekends coming up that people can start putting on their calendar? Or
yes,
or we're not sure yet.
Yeah, no, we've actually got a way. We're going to September 27th through the 29th. We're doing a Friday through Sunday. We've done the Thursday through Saturday, but this is a weekend away. So if you're really wanting to get away and have the whole experience of encounter, where you don't have to keep going back home or be distracted, go back to work.
Amen.
So that's going to be a weekend, and that's going to be awesome. So it's in New Hampshire. It's at Monadnock. So that's open registrations.
Awesome.
And again, there's some people that love to do the Thursday through Saturday, but there's some that go, I just want to get away.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That was my first encounter. I was away.
Right. Yeah.
You were in the Berkshires. Out in Western Mass. It was beautiful. So if this is stirring in your heart, you're listening to this, I encourage you just sign up and go. It's really not that expensive, especially for what you get. Mm-hmm. And it is so true. The Holy Spirit he's a God who wants to meet us.
Yes,
and you know, he's in us as believers. But we get so caught up in the busyness of our life and we start to think, oh, I'm living my life. When really, no, you're as a child of God, you are living the life that God has for you. And our attention is to be focused on him. And he wants to do that full soul restoration. He wants you to walk in that freedom that Jesus purchased on the cross for you. So sign up for the weekend. And we hope to see you there.
Yeah, we'd love to. It'd be awesome.
So just shifting gears into Sunday, there was a verse that I just wanted to start out with, and it's from Romans 8, because the message talked about, Zach talked about the passage from Leviticus where the sons of Aaron, they offer this strange fire.
Right.
And Zach explained that the word strange can also mean unauthorized or profane. And he explained that the crux of it was this fire was not the authorized fire from the altar. So the source of our fire is super important.
Right.
And as believers, we have had the Holy Spirit poured out on us as a down payment, and also for us to walk and live this Spirit-filled life.
Yes.
So in Romans 8:19, actually I'll start in verse 18. Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the eagerly awaiting creation waits for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God." And into verse 20, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope." So creation is longing for the revealing or the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. And the only way that that comes about in us as believers is when we walk in the Spirit.
Yes, it is. And you were talking about the source, you know, the Holy Scriptures, right? The Word of God, the inspiration from the Spirit of the Lord. And when we're in that source, it's actually convicting us and aligning us and adjusting us to that sort of that refiner's fire of really staying accountable. And one of the things too, Luke and you and I just talking about community, you know, the body of Christ, but having people also in the source be able to hold us accountable to stay in that correct fire, right? That that pure Holy Spirit fire.
Amen. Because, you know, going back to that story, and it's a scary story, and it's an unsettling story whenever God strikes someone dead, and there is a case in the New Testament, you know, Ananias and Sapphira, when they lie, when they get struck dead. You can read it in the book of Acts. It's unsettling and it's sobering, and we ought to pause and check ourselves.
Yes.
We're not given a lot of details about the sons of Aaron, like what their motivations were, but this is where we have to understand. So number one, they weren't using the fire source from the proper place.
Right.
And God was very specific in the law, in the Old Testament law, of how the worship was to take place, and even just these different ceremonial laws. And the main message, I'd had it explained to me when I was younger, is a big, broad message in the Old Testament and the law is that God is holy.
Yes, yes.
And so we ought to follow his prescribed pattern.
Yes, there's an order.
Right. But then you also see other things in the Old Testament where it's like, oh, it's almost like God makes exceptions for people at different times because he sees their heart.
Yes. Yes. Like Abraham.
Right.
Moses.
Right. They all messed up. So it's like, well, David. how come, you know, they get shown grace and then the sons of Aaron don't? And again, it comes back to as the Lord tells Samuel when he goes to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, the Lord says, man looks on the outside.
Yes.
But the Lord looks at the heart. So God sees all these details. He sees the motivations.
Right. I think there's a great message there of that, Luke. The inner core, right? The inner man that really the Lord sees, because a heart after God doesn't mean that we're perfect.
Right.
That grace is actually sanctifying and perfecting us. And yet the desire is to be like Jesus and to walk in that order and that holiness.
Yeah. And you know, when we move into the New Testament post cross, post the atonement, Jesus has paid the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Yes. And now we have access directly to the Father, and his blood speaks.
Yes.
So you have that whole book of Hebrews, which is basically explaining this concept of priesthood and how we are now priests, and now we can rush into the throne room.
Yeah.
It says where we can find grace and mercy to help in time of need.
Yeah.
So what I would encourage you, if anyone came away from Sunday, which I felt that some people might, you might have a question, or maybe even like the enemy's trying to put you into a place of condemnation, and you're like, what if I've been offering strange fire? Like I've been living out of my flesh. I haven't been. It's like, okay, yes, repent, but understand you walk right into the throne room.
Amen.
The access is open. Yes. You can go to the most holy place.
Yeah. I think that's sometimes in those moments where we're convicted. It's really checking, Lord, check my heart. You know, is my heart truly motivated with full intent to serve you and be filled with the Holy Spirit in that action? Mm. And if there is something off, you know, maybe there's a little strange or a little bit off, you know, just again, that grace that God provides for us and invites us into, the mercy, Lord, correct me.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something that, you know, I'm a little bit off in my intent or my motivation, then your grace is sufficient to move me into that. So I love the fact that, because the enemy wants to shame us.
Yes.
The enemy wants to go, okay, you ought to give this up.
Correct.
So I think you're right. We need to know that area where God's grace is. And if we need a brother or a sister to come in to sort of, you know, help us process that.
Right, right. And let's just park on that shame piece, because shame and fear are strong tools of the enemy.
Yes.
So again, going back to Romans, creation is longing for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
And the Lord is doing a soul restoration in each one of us.
Yes.
That is a process.
Right.
So the role or the assignment that the enemy has on your life is to get you stuck from progressing down this road of health that the Holy Spirit is walking
you down. And I think sometimes we get a little bit zealous. We get excited.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm going to make a mistake sometimes.
Right.
I'm going to need correction. I'm going to need rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's times where that happens. And instead of going into shame or regret or guilt, say, Lord, thank you for this lesson I learned.
Amen.
And I think having other people around us that we can be taught into the lessons, because we're going to just mess up sometimes.
Right.
I am.
Right, right. Amen.
And I love the way that you're saying God's grace is saying, come closer. Mm-hmm. And come into this place, because his holiness will correct and refine and bring us into purity.
Correct.
Out of that sanctification. Oh,
it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. You know, because what the Lord starts in us, he completes. He brings it to the day of completion.
Right.
The Lord sees your heart. He sees your motivation.
Right.
And think of it as a child. You know, like I just got a picture of, okay, a little kid helping their mom make cookies.
Yeah. Right.
And it's like, oh, it's time for the cookies to come out of the oven. So the child like goes and tries to take them out, but you know, it's kind of heavy.
Yes.
So then the cookies fall.
Yeah.
Or maybe the child gets a little burned.
Yeah.
A good parent isn't going to shame the child.
That's right.
They'll say, oh, I see you wanted to help and you're happy to help. And I'm happy that you want to help, but you're not ready to do that by yourself yet. So there is both a mentoring and a nurturing, while at the same time being a correction and a teaching.
Right.
And that's how it is with the Lord. The Lord doesn't shame us.
Mm-mm.
He corrects us.
He's a good dad.
Amen.
Yeah. And I think, you know, asking for discernment too. I mean, I think one of the lessons that even out of this, you know, strange fire, again, the Lord knew their hearts and their intents and where they were.
Right.
But also asking for discernment in regards to the fire of the Holy Spirit and the mm-hmm. source. And so discerning, like, hey, I might be a little bit of my flesh, or maybe I'm getting overzealous, right. or maybe I'm going into a place that, you know, is more of myself than the Lord. So asking for discernment and then letting other people help discern, because I think sometimes things get way off and get really strange when they're by themselves, or they're just isolated,
yes.
or they're, you know, they're in this on their own for, and I think that's where our intent or our motivation can get more about self-seeking versus Christ-seeking.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, Zach, as one of his, like, primary, I would say, illustrations in the sermon, he was talking about, like, he brought up church and how we do church.
Right.
And in our flesh, we can do church in a way where it's like, okay, I just want it to have these certain elements. I'm looking for this certain feel. I'm looking for it to look a certain way. Whereas it's like, as a spirit led church, living out of that fire, we allow the Holy Spirit to set the stage.
Amen.
And we allow the Holy Spirit to guide what is said.
Yeah, it's so good, because even in the sermon or worship or whatever is happening, the Spirit is moving and the Spirit is teaching and training. And so sometimes even Pastor Zach will make an adjustment.
Right.
You know, there'll be like a pause.
Yep.
Or just even what happened Sunday, you know, not this past Sunday, but maybe a couple Sundays ago with, you know, what is the Lord saying for healing and deliverance? And
oh, that was this past Sunday.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yes. I was thinking, okay.
Yes.
So just even that, the Spirit of the Lord is moving even within the mm-hmm. church and the
right.
body.
Right.
And so being tuned to that and aligned mm-hmm. to that versus just being rigid or allowing, you know, just you
right.
to have
right.
that liturgy that you want.
Right.
But it's a Holy Spirit
Amen.
Liturgy.
Amen. And, you know, and Paul makes a similar correction to the church. I think it's in Galatians, where he says, like, oh, you foolish Galatians, how do you think that if you could start, I'm paraphrasing, but like
yeah.
what you started in the Spirit, meaning with the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life, like you were set on fire.
Right.
Now you think you can finish this in the flesh? And like, he's correcting them, because there is that flesh piece in us that still has to be put to death by the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
And Pastor mm-hmm. Kurt preached an awesome mm-hmm. message on this. Go right. back and listen to it. It's, we can't, there's the flesh in us wants to be like, okay, I can take over now.
Right.
But we can't.
Right.
And if we live out of that true nature that we now have, that true fire, the true equipping of the Holy Spirit, we will do what this, we will live in the Spirit, and we will see health, and we will see ourselves manifest as his sons and daughters.
And the fruit of that too, right, Luke? I mean, you'll see the fruit of the Spirit that comes out, and that's where the perfection and the harmony comes, is you'll start to see the manifestation of his glory.
Amen.
Not man's glory, but his glory. And then people will start recognizing Jesus and the Holy Spirit more than any person.
Amen.
I mean, the person of the Spirit.
Amen. I'm glad you brought up the fruit of the Spirit, because I wanted to get to that. In Galatians 5, you can read the passage on the fruit of the Spirit. I encourage you to read that whole chapter, actually. But starting in verse 22, Paul says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." And the reason why I really wanted to bring that up, and I'm so glad you did, is I think sometimes when we hear fire and the equipping of the Holy Spirit, we and moving in the Spirit, we go to the signs and wonders, like healings
yeah.
and prophecies and miracles and that's true. Like
right.
those, that is the moving of the Spirit. And yeah. Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. But when you go into this passage, like Paul says, the power of the Spirit is going to produce this other stuff.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace. And that can sound so, isn't that so normal? And it's like, actually think about your everyday life.
Right.
This is what we need. And it's like, it is such a miracle when you look at your life and you're like, wow, I responded with patience to something that in the past I would have been incensed about.
Right.
And I would have stewed in that for weeks.
Yeah, isn't that great? I just think of a gentle person, you know, that gives that kindness and gives that love and is patient with that person, even if they need correction or rebuke. That's signs and wonders. I mean,
amen.
I really believe that is the gospel.
Amen.
That is Jesus's countenance. And you're right. I think we kind of elevate certain things that may be the what we want highlighted.
Right.
But I feel like the fruit of the Spirit is all about the manifestation and the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And people will see that in you. And like you said, we're being adjusted into self-control. You know, it's like, I want to do my will. No, I want to do his will. So I think that's kind of an indicator, a barometer of our internal, when we're living in that fruit and that source.
Amen.
And I'm going, wow, Luke, you are living in the fruit, which is all of them.
Right.
It's not just one or two.
Amen. Oh, no. And it will produce this in our life. And, you know, when we think of fire, like what makes fire so powerful is when we understand the contrast.
Yes.
Fire is bright. Yep. Darkness is dark.
Yes.
Fire is warm. Darkness, cold.
Yep.
So when the fire of the Holy Spirit is, oh, the Holy Spirit is giving me power and fire to be joyful.
Yes.
In a season where in my flesh, I would be depressed.
Right.
He's giving me power to be loving in a situation where I want to be hateful.
Right.
That is true fire.
It is. There's a surrendering to that too, isn't there, Luke? It's surrendering to his fire. And sometimes it's a refiner's. You know, it's like I'm going in. Woo, I feel like
we can't manifest it without refining.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the strange part comes in, or not from the source, the altar.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows, because even in the day, Lord, you know, I've called you Lord and I don't know you. And I think this inner fire of the Spirit is drawing us to the presence of the Father and also the corrections. And being able to know that I don't want to be in a strange fire. I don't even want to go after that. I want his fire so that people will see him.
Amen.
Not what I do and manifest.
Right.
I think that's kind of what may have been happening there too. It's like it was all about.
Well, they wanted, they were operating out of what they wanted.
And
what they were like, this is fine. But they displayed a disregard for the one who they were supposed to be serving.
Right. And it's a big deal. I think there's a healthy fear, like a reverent fear of obedience that we want to be in that place. So again, I love the fact that you're saying, hey, if you were sensing uncomfortableness or maybe even not fully understanding, then get together with someone else. I mean, get together with the Holy Spirit and go back to Word. But sometimes we need community.
Right.
We need other people to help with that grace.
Right.
But again, something's stirring,
right?
You know, and I love the fact that when the fire is stoking, something's stirring. You can actually see it in the campfire. You can see it in
Amen.
The fire, you know?
Amen. And it's important that we live in community, that we operate and we grow in community. Because, you know, going back to the analogy of the child making the cookies,
right.
You don't know what you don't know.
Exactly. Right. And I was thinking greenhouses have been such a blessing because that is the oikos. That is the household. That's really the—
What is oikos? Explain that to us.
Yeah. So when Jesus said to the disciples, go out and go out to find a home, find people of peace, and don't look to the right, don't look to the left, don't take anything, that household became believers, right? That was the oikos. It's a household of usually about 15 to 40 people. And it's where you have spiritual maturity. It's where you grow. Sometimes you're giving help financially to someone. Mm-hmm. You're helping somebody through grief, healing and deliverance, power of the Holy Spirit. So that's that household.
Right.
That's really the greenhouses.
Right.
And this, you know, that fire is not only just internally in the house, but people are starting to see it outside the house, you know, especially in the summer where we're outside now when we have a barbecue. But that's something that people are going to see, and they're going to hear what's happening.
Amen. So the fire of the Holy Spirit is so that I can live what I might otherwise see as an everyday life, as a truly supernatural life.
Yes. Yeah. And in that supernatural, it sort of defines even the natural rhythms, our disciplines, our way of life as an apprentice, as a student. Because we just want the dust, like we want to be so close to Jesus that the dust off his sandals is getting all over us, you know, because we're able to really be living in that space where it's all about Christ. It's all, like you said, everything needs to go back to the gospel. It needs to go back to Jesus. And Old Testament is a preparation of that. Even this fire, which is strange. Now we have the Holy Spirit that helps us to move away from strange or unknown to known.
Yes. Yeah. And again, it's, we all do this out of a place of grace.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us, I mean, everybody, I think every believer at some point probably falls under this, where it's, you start to think, okay, I have to read my Bible and I have to do these things. And it's like, we should do those things, but the have to is not, that can get hijacked by Satan and get us again to fall into that bondage where it's like, you're now doing this in your flesh.
Exactly.
Where you're measuring your spiritual health by how many verses or chapters I read this week or today. Right. And it's like, no, live in the Spirit and read your Bible and engage in community.
Yes.
But again, it's from a place of active, real life. This is vivid. This is real. This is supernatural. It's not dry.
It's a love affair.
Yes.
It's a literal love affair that you are like ecstatic about getting up in the morning. Like the first thing you want to do is get together and be in that place with Dad and with the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, it becomes, I think disciplines are good for the sake of getting us into practices that give us that desire for more.
Right, and they feed us truth, and they you know, we get refined by the truth.
Yes.
But again, it's from a place, it's dynamic.
It is.
It is dynamic.
It's not, you said that it's the movement. It's and every day we're being transformed and renewed in our minds and our bodies and our hearts. And so every day somebody says, you look different today than you did yesterday. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
To God the glory.
So if you are listening and you are feeling dry, know that that dryness is not God's will for your life.
Amen.
But it is from that, in that dry place, when you take it to the Lord, you say, Lord, I have been trying to wet my soil, but I cannot do it. I need the rain of your Spirit. Yeah. I need the fresh wind. I need you to do this, and I surrender to you.
Yeah, I love that, Luke. And the encouragement is when you continue to seek him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your body and your strength, he will love you so much. In that love affair is just, it gets stronger and stronger. And then we can love our neighbor. But, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to love the Lord, right? And I think when we get to that place where we're so broken and sometimes just, like you said, in the desert or the dry spot, just continue to show up.
Right.
Because he's already there.
Amen. Amen. And even that awareness, the awareness that you're dry, that is a gift from the Lord, because he's getting your attention.
Yes.
He's getting your attention. Right. How many people go through life, they don't know that something's wrong.
Right.
You know, apart from the conviction of the Holy Spirit, it's like you're just living your life.
Yeah.
And yeah, you see consequences, but again, like there's no desire for more. So that desire for more, that's the Holy Spirit inside of you.
It is. Yeah. And I think sometimes even in the quietness of that, there's still the warmth. There's still a sense, you know, maybe he's not as, you know, sometimes as whispers and we lean in, but you can feel the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I think it's just keep coming back to the fire, because we don't want to get cold.
Amen. Well, even that message I was listening to about the Psalm 23, like he explained about that line where it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I had never heard it this way, where he said, he's like, notice, he says, walk, not run.
That's good. That's really good.
You know, the Holy Spirit, our shepherd, our good shepherd, enables us to walk through these difficult places.
Yeah, it's a process, right?
Whereas in our flesh, we want to run and get out.
Right.
But he enables you to walk.
He does.
Because you're so comforted.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there's a process of in that walking and pacing. It's his pace, right? Sometimes we do want to run. Sometimes we want it fast. And I think that's where we could get a little bit off with the strange fire. Mm-hmm. Because the fire of the Holy Spirit is perfect paced. Mm. And we don't want to walk ahead of him.
Amen.
We want to walk right with him.
Yep. Doesn't need more volume. Doesn't need more lights. Doesn't need more anything.
It's perfect the way it is.
Amen. Yeah. Well, it's been wonderful having you. Thank you so much for guiding us in this conversation and just sharing from your wealth and your maturity. So if you would just please bless us, pray for us.
Well, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your spirit of fire. And thank you, Heavenly Father, just for being such a good parent. Like Luke was saying, you continue to love us so graciously, so mercifully. Lord, I pray for every listener. I pray for everyone, Lord, that will understand your fire is a consuming fire that takes us into a place where we can surrender obediently. And we could be at peace. Lord, your fire is so perfect. We pray that your spirit would move and hover over homes, over greenhouses, over His Providence Church, and even beyond, Lord, in neighborhoods and communities. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you so much. And we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. God bless.
All right, guys. We'll live in the power of the Spirit the rest of this week. And we will see you on Sunday. Can't count on.